I want to read Luke chapter 2. Now, if you want to, go ahead and turn over and find the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you're going to say, Brother Billy, what in the world are you doing reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Maybe we'll tie it all together before we leave this morning. And it's good to have you in the services today. Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And now, firstborn means he's the firstborn and means there's others to follow. You understand that. And there's no such thing as the perpetual virginity of Mary. Mary was a chosen vessel. And we thank God she was highly favored. God chose her out of all the ladies, young girls there in Israel to be the vessel through which the Holy Ghost would come to send the Son of God, give him a body. He said in the book of Hebrews, you have given me a body, fashioned me a body. And so he chose that virgin's womb for that. But then she and Joseph later had children. Jesus had brothers and sisters. And so we don't worship Mary and we don't pray to Mary. We worship the Savior. Amen. And I'm glad you have access to heaven through him. And he's the firstborn. He was the firstborn. But Jesus was born of a virgin, and his father is God the Father and the Holy Ghost. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want you to turn over now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll begin reading here with verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14. Yea, we have found false witness. Well, let me back verse 14, I'm sorry. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Oh, listen. And then he said, and then are they also which are fallen asleep in Christ perish. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the touch of God upon Ms. Angie this morning, the wonderful song that she sang. And Lord, blessing the choir and Brother Brad. Thank you, our Father, for touching them. And our Father, the joy bells ring in our heart of the fact that Jesus Christ was born and that he came to give his life a ransom. And God, I pray, God, that you'd bless now every person in the sound of my voice here in the building and in the radio audience and in the internet audience. God, I ask, Father, you'd remove everything from my mind and heart that would hinder the work and the flow of the Holy Ghost here this morning. Our Father, this may be the very last opportunity that we all have together here together. Maybe the last opportunity for somebody in the media audience in this building that ever hear the gospel. I pray, God, you'd help me. God, remove far from me flesh. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everywhere you look today, there's Christmas emphasis and decorations and songs and all the television. And, of course, they've started playing the Christmas music on stations on the radio. Listen to it, all types of Christmas music, what we'd call religious and secular. But I tell you, everywhere you look, there's like that. And I'm thinking about all the different shows. It seems like they just try. They're trying to come up with something new about Christmas. They've got all kind of thing about it. But there's one little thought pattern that I see recurring over and over again in some of the themes of the thing. And that is this, about if there were no Christmas. Just suppose there's one about the town who had no Christmas. And there's one about a family who decided to forget Christmas for 1 year. And then there's the Grinch who stole Christmas. Everybody knows that one. And all of those things. And then, of course, the classic is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And it's about the fellow named Scrooge who's got so consumed with money that he doesn't care anything about it. And his employee there that works for him, he makes him work extra hours at Christmas time. And, of course, that man's struggling to make ends meet, has a little boy at home that's crippled and so on. It's just a classic. It's been around for years and years. And, you know, what he does, he goes to sleep, and then he has a dream. And it is talking about the past, the ghost of Christmas past. And then it talks about the ghost of Christmas present. And then it talks about the ghost of Christmas future. And in the past, there was lightness and levity, and he had, as a little boy, he had some joy, and he loved Christmas. And then in the present, all the heartache and sorrow and the you know, just driven by money and what he's missing there. But then in the sad future of the dream, it's a dark scene, and all the things that happen to him and all the things that happens to those people he knows. And all of a sudden he wakes up, and of course he looks out and he hollers out the window, and the little boy said, "It's Christmas." And you know how the whole thing changes. He's changed his appreciation of Christmas. He's got back in the Christmas spirit and all those things. Well, as I read the Word of God this week and I was thinking about it, and I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ being born, I thought, just suppose if there were no Christmas. Now, like I said a while ago, I've got some preacher friends and other folk I know who don't like the Christmas season. And they'll say, historically, if you study church history, you find that the early church didn't even celebrate the birth of Christ. They celebrated His death and resurrection. And I understand that. That's probably so. But I know as long as I can remember, we celebrated Christmas. And some people say, well, you don't want to lie to your children. Well, my mama did the best she could. And I had a good Christmas growing up. I don't feel like she lied to me. That's all I'm going to say about that. All I'm going to say about that. I just love the Lord. Amen. And I like getting a BB gun. Everybody say amen right there. Praise God. Amen. I love it. Hey, amen. And I don't care how it got there. I'm just glad it got there. Amen. But thank the Lord. But suppose there was no Christmas. Yes, suppose there were no Christmas. What if there were no Christmas? This thing got in my heart. I pray God make it real to you. If there were no Christmas, just suppose there were no Christmas, there'd be no churches. All the wonderful times I've had around God's house with God's people. But if there were no Christmas, there'd be no churches. Churches all over this county, all over this state, all over around the world. But if there'd been no Christmas, there'd be no churches. If there'd been no Christmas, there'd be no Christian schools. Wonderful Christian schools across our nation now, and Christian home schools and home. But if there were no Christmas, if there'd been no Christmas, there'd be no Christian schools. If there were no Christmas, there'd be no Christian colleges. I think about current colleges, Liberty University and others, Bob Jones University, all the great Christian colleges across the nation. But if you think back historically in America, there'd be no Harvard. There'd be no Yale. So many of the prestigious colleges of our day were Christian colleges in the beginning. And many of them were established to train people, to train them for the ministry. And the Word of God was read and studied in all of those colleges initially. And those wouldn't exist. There'd be no Christian hospitals around the world, no Christian orphanage to house lonely children and children who have no parents. There'd be no glorious and wonderful, joyous gathering of families if there'd never been a Christmas. There'd be no happy memories for me and you to remember all the things that have gone on in our lives over the years for Christmas. No happy memories. No happy memories. Then if there were no Christmas, if there had never been a Christmas, there never would have been conversion of drunks. There's no hope for drunks or drug addicts or harlots or anybody that's lost outside the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Savior had not come, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Emmanuel, and because he shall save his people from their sin. There'd be no conversion. Several years ago, I got a phone call right here in this community, and Hilton and Gay are attending here, where I used to pastor the very first church over in Micro, North Carolina. And Gay was just, I went to the hospital the day she was born. It's hard for me to believe when I look at Hilton and see how old he is and all. And Gay hadn't changed hardly any since the day she got born. But I think about that. And in contacting them and them coming over here and some of the folk that were good, that were my friends over there and how God's blessed, and many of them gone on to be with the Lord. I got a phone call, and it was a young man there in Smithfield, North Carolina, who runs a business in Smithfield. And I've told the story in a message I preached on about God's grace and mercy in saving a fella. And I won't give any names, but anyhow, Brother Walt Peden wanted me to go with him to see this family. And the man was an alcoholic. And when I went to the home was you could just tell it was a home of an alcoholic. And anyhow, I shared the gospel. It's a long story, but anyhow, that man got saved. His wife got saved. His daughter got saved. A son was later born. And that was a long time ago. I mean, that was in 1969. And a few years ago, I got a phone call from a young man over in Smithfield and said, is this Billy Caswell? And I said, yeah. And he said, I want to thank you. He said, you'll know me. He said, I was born after you left Parish Memorial Baptist Church. I want to thank you. And I said, well, I'm glad. He said, I want to thank you that I didn't grow up in an alcoholic's home. I grew up in a Christian home. I was raised in a Christian home. You went to my mom and daddy's house. My daddy was a drunk. And he got saved. And because you went and he got saved, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to school, went to college. I run a business in Smithfield, North Carolina. I've waited all these years to tell you thank you. But if there'd been no Christmas, there'd be no conversion of drugs. There'd be no conversion of lost people. If there were no Christmas, my dear friend, there'd be no Christian influence in law or in our government. Our government and our laws are permeated with Christian principles. There'd be no Christian ethics in business. You think about that. If there never been a Christmas, I think about Wendy's Chick-fil-A. They don't open on Sunday, and yet their business flourishes. And I'm thinking back about years ago, when I was a boy growing up, hardly nothing was open on Sunday. But all the Christian influence in business over the years, Mr. J.C. Penney was a Christian, Mr. Belk was a Christian, and all those others. And all so many influences in business and honest business practices. And if it had not been for Christmas, we'd not have those things. If it had never been a Christmas, there'd be no answer to prayer. All the answers to prayer that I could list, that you could list over all these years, my dear friend. If there had never been a Christmas, there'd be no comfort for the grieving from the Word of God. If there never been a Christmas, there'd never been a Sunday school. And all the fond memories you may have of growing up and some teacher teaching you the Word of God and loving you and being an example to you and all the wonderful things, the boys and girls around the world. If there were never a Christmas, there'd never be a Sunday school. There'd never be a vacation Bible school. There'd have never been an Awana program. There'd never been any homecomings. And how many of you like homecoming? Praise God for that. I tell you, thank God for that. If there'd never been a Christmas, there'd been no Christmas carols and no hymns. Can you imagine not having a way in a manger? Can you imagine Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Never Been Written? Can you imagine all the wonderful songs that we sing around this time of the year, the ones that Brad picked out this morning, Ricky on last Wednesday evening, and the song that Angie just sang, and the many others that will be sung? They'd never been those songs. Oh, listen, if there are no Christmas, to miss all the joy of the Christmas music, the real Christmas music, what an awful thing that would have been. If there had never been a Christmas, there had never been a Bible. Isn't that something? If there'd never been a Christmas, you'd never been able to read about the birth of Christ. You'd never been able to read about His miracles in the New Testament. You'd never be able to read about His crucifixion and glorious resurrection. You'd never read the promises about His wonderful victorious return if there'd never been a Christmas. If there'd never been a Christmas, there'd be no America. Did you know that? Did you know that the founding fathers and even Christopher Columbus himself, who set out to find a trade route, ended up discovering by accident, according to the providence of God? In Columbus' journal, he writes that he felt compelled by divine providence, by God himself, to make this journey. And here it is. Here we are. God bless America. If there had never been a Christmas, we wouldn't have our Constitution. Neither would we have our motto, "In God We Trust." If there had never been a Christmas, you'd know nothing of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John the Baptist, or the Apostle Paul. There'd been none great preachers of yesterday that we think about, no missionaries that we've ever met, none that we've ever read about. There'd be no Jim Elliot who gave his life and made the statement, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." He also made this statement, "Only one life. You only have one life to live, and you ought to live your life in such a way that when it comes time to die, you have nothing else to do but to die." If there'd been no Christmas, my dear friend, there'd be no great preachers of yesterday. There'd be no love shed across this world through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and lives changed. And Jim Elliot, who was killed by those Inca Indians, and then later his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, with others, went back to win those people to the Lord. And one of the men who was responsible for his death became a preacher. There'd be no drastic change in lives or communities or neighborhoods had there never been a Christmas. There'd have been no Billy Sunday, no R.G. Lee. There'd be no B.H. Carroll. There'd be no Billy Graham if there'd never been a Christmas. There would never have been a Charles Stanley if it hadn't been a Christmas. There'd be no Christian radio. There'd be no Christian TV. There'd be no wonderful Southern gospel songs we love to sing. There'd never been a George Beverly Shea or nor a Fanny Crosby who wrote the hymn book, the many songs in the hymn book that we sing. She never would have been able to write those wonderful words that we've sang over and over again. There never would have been a song like "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," or "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood Drawn from Emmanuel's Vein." John Newton, the slave trader, never would have gotten saved if it hadn't been a Christmas. And he wrote "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." He wouldn't have been around if it had never been a Christmas. Thank God. Merry Christmas to you this morning. I'm glad Christmas is real. If it had never been a Christmas, there never would have been the shepherds. There never would have been the wise men. Never would have been the angels. Never would have been the star. Oh, listen, if there had never been a Christmas, but Christmas future. If there had never been a Christmas, there'd be no hope of revival. There'd never been experience, an excitement about the upcoming Christmas. If there'd never been a Christmas, there never would be those happy reunions that you're looking forward to having, or the glorious, wonderful services that we have around Christmas time, if there never had been a Christmas. There never would be, my dear friend, any more camp meetings if there'd never been a Christmas. There'd be no more baptisms if there'd never been a Christmas. There'd be no more baby dedications, no more Christian marriages if there never was a Christmas. There'd be no consolation in times of death for those who lose a loved one if there'd never been a Christmas. There never would have been faith for healing if there'd never been a Christmas. If there'd never been a Christmas, there never would be in our heart the thought that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Paul said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men most miserable." If there'd never been a Christmas, there'd be no hope of heaven. If there'd never been a Christmas, there'd be no more comfort that mom and dad and your child or your husband or your wife are already at home and soon you'll get to join them. If there never had been a Christmas, there'd never be a hope of a glad reunion with them to live in the bright glories of heaven for all eternity. If there'd never been a Christmas, there'd be no day when tears would all be wiped away. If there never had been a Christmas, there'd never be a day when all pain would be gone forever. If there never had been a Christmas, there'd never been a time when sorrow and separation would end forever and forever. If there'd never been a Christmas, there never would be endless joy, worship, and praise in the Lord for all eternity. If there'd never been a Christmas, you may not even be here today. Many of you were born to Christian parents. And if you had, they had never been a Christmas, they never would have been saved. They never would have sought God's will. There'd never been divine guidance to bring them together. There never would have been a conception, and you may have never even been born. If there never had been a Christmas, you'd never been able to have godly parents to love you and raise you and pray for you. If there'd never been a Christmas, you'd probably not be here today because the church wouldn't be here. You ever wonder where you'd be if it hadn't been for the Lord? Freddie Gage, who was a drug addict, and God used him and David Wilkerson many years ago and still are, their ministries. But Freddie Gage preached a sermon one time that I heard up at Jerry Falwell's. He preached on "All My Friends Are Dead." And he preached about the God's divine grace and providence in saving him. But my dear friend, listen, if there never would have been a Christmas, you never would have been saved. You wouldn't have all your sins washed away. If there'd never been a Christmas, you wouldn't have the hope of heaven. If there never would have been a Christmas, you may not have the husband or the wife you have now. You may not have the wonderful children you have now. You may not be blessed with grandchildren that you have now if there'd never been a Christmas. But if there'd never been a Christmas future, there'd be no hope of salvation for the lost. To be lost without any hope forever and forever and forever. Many who live in sin don't want Christ. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to have their lives changed. But at some point in time, millions have come to the place where they realize what they're doing is not right. It's not working. And they come to the end of the rope. They come to the end of the road. They come out just as low as you can possibly get. And they look up and cry, "God, have mercy on me." But if there'd never been a Christmas, there'd be no hope in a situation like that, no hope for the lost. You and I don't recognize the name Mel Trotter, but many years ago, Mel Trotter was a great evangelist in America before most all of us were ever born. Mel Trotter was so wicked, he was an alcoholic. He beat his wife, beat his children and everybody else, and he just finally abandoned them. And then after some time, he came back. And when he came back, his daughter, youngest daughter, was desperately ill. He made a promise to his wife that he'd never drink again and if she'd let him back home. And she let him back in because of all the problems they were going through with their daughter that was terminally ill and all the sickness they were facing and all the problems they had. And he'd only been home just a short time when she gave him money to go to a drugstore to get some much-needed medicine for that baby. He took the money, and as he went down the road, he looked at the money, and he thought his man began to water for alcohol. And instead of going to buy medicine for his baby, he went and bought alcohol with that money. And when he got sober enough after several days to come back home, a crowd was gathered around his home. His little girl lay dead and stayed in the home. She died. And he came in broken and weeping and everything, and his wife talked to him, and he went in to where the little baby was, and somehow or another, everybody else left the room. And he stood there looking at that little corpse in the casket and weeping. And he reached down and he pulled it off her little shoes and put them in his pocket and slipped out the back door and went and sold them and bought liquor with it. Oh, what a wicked man. But yet later he walked by the Pacific Garden Mission and heard the gospel message and Mel Trotter got saved. But if there never would have been a Christmas, there'd be no hope for the addict in the future, no hope for the drunk in the future, no hope for the good moral man who's on his way to hell, no hope for anybody to ever be saved if there never had been a Christmas. If there never had been a Christmas, there'd be no hope of the resurrection for me and you, no hope that we'll live forever in a place called heaven. But now let's wake up. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. The Bible said that she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. And then the Bible said, and suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." My dear friend, he did come, and he was born, and he did live a sinless life, And he did die a sacrificial death on the cross. And he was buried and stayed there for 3 days and three nights. And he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's ascended back to the Father, my dear friend. And now he's been given a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is come. He did die for you. He did rise for you. He is here now, thank God. He's in this building, the person, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God came to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's here now, and He can save. He's where you are in the media audience. He's alive, and the greatest gift of all is what the Bible calls the unspeakable gift, God's Son that He gave at Christmas for me and you. Thank God Christmas is real. It is Christmas Day in a few days, and thank God the Savior did come. He will save. He can save. And thank the Lord, He's coming again to give everlasting life forever and forever and ever. My dear friend, Merry Christmas. He's alive. Merry Christmas. He's real. And thank God you can be saved today. You say, Brother Billy, how could I ever be saved? How could my life ever be changed? It's the simplest thing in all the world. He made it that way. So you don't have to have an education. You don't have to have religious training. He said, whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God you can be saved today. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anybody can be saved. Everybody can be saved if they're turned from their sin and turn to the Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. It's a gift that comes by believing and receiving. Will you receive Him today? Will you trust Him today? And for those of me and you who are Christians, thank God for Christmas. Amen. Don't get bogged down. There's too many things to do, too much money to spend, but thank God Christmas is here. Thank God He came. Thank God He's on the throne, and thank God He's coming again. Amen. People can be saved. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed? I am sure glad that Christmas happened. I'm sure glad that Jesus Christ did come, and you can receive Him today right where you are. It's a free gift. We are justified freely by His grace through His blood. It's free. You can't beat that deal. That's better than any Black Friday deal you'll ever find. It's a bright Sunday deal. Here you go. Whosoever, anybody can come. Anybody can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him. You say, Brother Billy, how do I accept Him? Well, the Bible said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In just a few days, and there'll be a series of get-togethers and Christmas parties, and then finally with all of your family. Already people are shopping. Already they're purchasing gifts. Already they're thinking about your Christmas list or thinking about something you really need or really want. And out of their love for you, they're going to spend that money. They're going to purchase that gift. They'll wrap it, and they'll put your name on it. Oh, the thing about it is this. The whole time they're looking, they're thinking about you. The whole time they're paying, they're thinking about you. The whole time they're wrapping, they're thinking about you. And when they finally write your name on that gift, they're thinking, oh, how happy, excited they'll be. Can I tell you, before the world was ever fashioned, before the rivers ever flowed to the sea, the stars ever twinkled in the night, He loved us. The Bible said He was slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, before you were ever born, He was making preparation for the greatest gift that was ever given. He had you in mind when He framed the world. He had you in mind when He chose Mary. He had you in mind when the body of Christ was formed in that virgin womb. He had you in mind when He said to the shepherds that a Savior is born in this city of David. He was thinking about you. My dear friend, listen. When Christ said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost, he was talking about you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He was thinking about you. He said, I give my life a ransom. He was thinking about you. My dear friend, he loved you and he gave his life for you. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to receive him now. In the radio audience, internet audience, here in the building, if you're not saved, I can't do it for you. I wish I could. But if you honestly would turn with all of your heart from your sin to the Savior and call on him, he'll save you. For those of us, again, who are saved, oh, what a wonderful, joyous time to remember the birth of our Savior. Enjoy family and friends and church family. Let's not forget to share the gospel. People who need the message of Christ, get it out to them. Will you stand with your heads bowed for just a moment? Our Heavenly Father, I've just shared with your people what you put in my heart. Lord, there's a lot of people that complain about Christmas and the busyness and the work, the problems, and a lot of people complain about how commercialized it is. But Lord, I'm sure glad there's a Christmas. I'm sure glad that you did send your son to be born of a virgin. I'm sure glad that you did give the message to the angels and send the star for the wise men. I'm sure glad the Savior was born and he died that I might have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Holy Ghost of God, for convicting me of my sin. Thank you for loving me, Father, and for giving me everlasting life because I accepted your son. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for this wonderful church, for these beautiful decorations, for the wonderful singing this morning and all the singing and the joyous times we'll have, oh Lord, in the celebration tonight, the supper tonight, and all the activities. God, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for what you've done for us. Folk, while we are praying this morning, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I know if you're not saved, you need to get saved. I know if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. I know if you've got a burden or care, he said, cast all your cares on me. But maybe as we did at Thanksgiving, on this first Sunday of the new year, of this Christmas season, first Sunday of this Christmas season, maybe you just want to come stand or come kneel around this altar and say, God, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for Christmas. Help me to make it what you want it to be, a celebration of the coming of our Savior. Bless your name for letting your son die for me. Whatever you need to do, I invite you to do it right now. If you're close, you want to be saved, if you're right here today, and I'll pray with you, get somebody else to pray with you. But I don't know what you need to do, but folk are coming all over the building. I invite you to come right now. Right now. Will you come? God's Holy Ghost spoke to your heart this morning. Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for this time of the year. Thank God for what he's done. Wonderful. Blessed Lord Jesus. People are coming from all over the building, kneeling around the altar, standing and praying. Perhaps just thanking the Lord for his coming, perhaps sharing some burden of care that only the Lord knows about, that they know he'll take and lift that burden of care this morning. While you're where you are in the place, you're still welcome to come. But with nobody looking, I wonder if there's somebody here this morning say, preacher, I'm not saved. And I don't seem to take that first step. Will you pray with me? I want to be saved before it's too late. And you'll just raise your hand high. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. But you say, preacher, I want you to pray for me right now. I couldn't come to the altar. Won't you pray for me right now? Anybody? Across the building. I'm looking obedient to him.